Y'all, listen to us. We're hungry for those messages. We haven't speak to each other, so to speak, here. Without our dear Charlie not here, our pastor gone, but that's okay. We preach to each other, and it works good, but we'd rather hear you, God called preachers.
That's right.
It's a wonderful blessing to have you. Anyway, next up, Brother Kelly Henson from Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
Amen.
Texan is here. As a matter of fact, we got two Texans now. We're so happy to have Brother Kelly here. And y'all pray for Brother Kelly. He's been asking for prayers. He has a little medical issues here, like all of us do. But y'all remember Brother Kelly. You come on, Brother Kelly, and preach. You're next up on the firing line.
David, I'll have to agree with you. It's been a long time since I've faced this many folks that love the Lord. What a blessing.
Amen.
Good morning, Brother Lucian. It's good to see you.
Amen.
Thank y'all for the invitation.
Amen.
I was telling Brother Jerry yesterday, you know, this may be the last message I'll ever preach here.
Yeah.
And it may be the last message I ever preach anyway.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. The Lord could come before we get started or before we finish or before the name goes.
Amen.
There's power in the blood.
That's right.
Amen. Power in the blood. Wow. Are you washed in blood this morning?
Amen.
If you want to read with us this morning, we'll be reading from Acts chapter 27. We'll start reading in verse 14. Acts 27, verse 14. We'll probably all read the whole chapter for time constraints. We'll limit our reading to verse 14 through verse 20. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, Sawyeraklaran. And when the ship was caught, could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive, and running under the lee of a certain island, which is called Cauda, we had much work to secure the boat, which, when they had hoisted it, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved taken away. This was a tremendous storm, and we heard something about storm last night. Thrill my soul. And for about 5 minutes, I thought Brother Tom was just going to go ahead and preach my message for me. And so I could just get up here this morning and say, did y'all believe that? Well, God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen. Preach
But about 5 minutes, he picked up on his message and left mine alone for the most part. But that's all right. I wouldn't have cared if he'd have preached it. He'd probably done a better job than I'd be able to do anyway. Storms are a tremendous thing. You folks that live around here know more about storms, I suppose, than I do. I've been in a hurricane or two, at least on the outskirts of one, in Houston when I lived down there, way back, I think, in the late 60s. I don't remember the name of it, but that's neither here nor there. The weather, the storms and weather, there's all kinds of different storms. There's hurricanes, there's tornadoes, there's cyclones, there's thunderstorms, there's rainstorms, wind storms, hail storms, you know. You name it, there's a storm about it, probably. But they're not accidents. They're not events under the effect of Mother Nature.
No.
Boy, it just makes me sick to my stomach when I hear the weatherman talk about Mother Nature. It's not bad luck. I mean, if a hurricane comes through Louisiana, South Louisiana, wipes out New Orleans, it's not bad luck.
Nope.
And it's not good luck if it goes away and hits Texas. I understand from the book of Job that these things are from the hand of God. In book of Job, chapter 5, for instance, one of Job's friends, although I don't agree with all that his friends have to say, every now and then you come across something that's believable. It said in chapter 5 and verse 6, although affliction cometh not forth from the dust, neither doth trouble spring up out of the ground, yet man is born to trouble, and sparks fly up. Job knew that. And he says in chapter 12, after they had browbeat him severely, he said, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? He knew what had happened was not fate that took away his children, that took away all of his livestock, that took away some of his buildings.
Yeah.
He lost all that he had, just about.
Mm-hmm.
His old wife wasn't much to have around, it seemed like. Why don't you just curse God and die? But he knew that the hand of his sovereign, all-powerful God was in control. And he's as much in control of weather and in control of what happened at Calvary.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But the storm I want to emphasize as we talk this morning to you is the storms in your life. And our brother broke that out last night, that we have storms in our life. Some of them are hurricanes.
Yeah.
Hey. Some of them will tire you up. Some of them will make you cry like a baby. Storms. But just like the storm in the weather, these storms are appointed to us by our sovereign, all-loving God. And they have a purpose. God don't do anything haphazardly. He has a purpose in everything that he does. drive your affections. Your love for God must be on dry when God sends that hurricane into your life. Or a windstorm, or a hailstorm. Or maybe just a little windstorm to stir you up. Because you might need a kick in the rear or something.
That's right. Great song.
Your affections, your love for God. That's one of the reasons sometimes for the storm that's coming into your life. Your affections for God. Do we really love Him like we claim we do? Peter, I must have faith. Or the need. Well, question. If he asked you that today, what would you answer me? Do you love more than all of these here? Are you the one that loves me most? And I say, Lord, it's a wonder I love you at all. If you hadn't loved me first, I never would have loved you. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins.
Yes, right.
That's why we love Him.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Men are not capable of loving God naturally. I don't think we can love anything, any except sin, without the help of God. Really love something. I mean, I don't know if a man can really love his wife. He may lust after her. He may kind of like her a whole lot. He may not like her at all. Sometimes I don't. But be honest with me, sometimes you don't either. Yeah. It's not easy sometimes. And sometimes she don't like you either. I'll tell you that. You know. Love is a wonderful thing. We take it for granted.
Yeah.
Do we love His Word? Yeah. We ought to.
Yeah.
We're supposed to.
Right.
Yeah. You know how you can tell? How much time do you spend in it?
That's right.
I'm telling you something about how much you love it. You may love it, but it's not as much as you ought to. And you can test yourself by looking back and seeing how much time you've wasted watching television, or reading a newspaper, or just doing anything else. Going fishing. There's a lot of things we can do that disrupt our study in the Word of God. That would be our first priority. When we get up in the morning, praying and getting in the Word of God. Peter, that great apostle, and great only by the grace of God, like you and I are children of God. He said, as newborn babes, desire, crave the milk of the Word of God. The sincere milk of the Word of God. That you may grow thereby. You know, it's been so long since you and I were babes. We've just about forgotten, you know, how important that first milk was to us. If Sister Joanne was here, she could tell you something about that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With a new one and a new one on the way. They crave it. They can't do without it. It's a must have. Or they'll die. Are you drying up on the vine?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you're not studying the Word of God like God could. I think most of us are guilty of that. The Apostle Paul in Romans 15 said, verse 4, for whatever things were written in earlier time or aforetime were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Mm. Now, the Scriptures don't have patience. He's talking about our patience. And the hope that we have from studying the Scriptures and learning more and more and more about God. And the more you learn about Him, the more hope you're going to have. The more you learn about the coming of Christ Jesus, the more you'll be yearning to see Him.
That's right.
Yeah. The more you study about His life, the more you might want to be like Him.
Yeah.
We ought to just crave to be more like Him.
Yeah.
We're going to do that by studying the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. We can't do without it. We must have it. Or we'll die on the vine.
Yeah.
How about one another? I love one another. Jesus said, a new commandment give I you, that you love one another. Love one another. He said that greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Do you have that kind of love for your brethren? Do you know a brother that you would not be willing to lay down your life for him? That's a tremendous thing. To love somebody that much. I hope some of y'all might love me that much. But I tell you what, I wouldn't blame you if it didn't. Not only do I not look too good, Brother Jerry, I'm not too easy to love sometimes. But that's not here nor there. The thing is, God commanded that we love one another with a pure heart fervently. Yeah. And these thorns will try your faith. Yeah. And this dear brother talked about that tonight. Oh, ye of little faith.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure they were thanking God for that little bit of faith they had. Because if they hadn't had any, they wouldn't have gotten both in the first place. So they had a little bit. And I'm acquainted with that position, that condition. Trying your faith.
Lord.
We're perishing here. Don't you care? I think I've climbed into the pulpit a time or two with that thought on my mind. Lord, I need help here. But it's not for the purpose of proving to God how much faith you have. He knows already. Jesus knew those disciples that were in that boat with him. He knew how much faith they had. And he knew that that he would try that faith in that storm. And the storms in your life will do the same thing. They'll try your faith. Given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man measure of faith.
That's right.
Every man, a measure. God measures it to you.
That's right.
They had a little bit of faith because God had measured it to them.
Right.
To try it and make it grow and strengthen it. And the storm will do that. It will strengthen your faith in God, your faith in Christ. And we ought to thank God for those storms. You know, we don't have the same kind of storms. I don't have the same kind that y'all have, and y'all don't have the kind I've had. I can tell you some storms that have come in my life that y'all ain't never experienced.
Right.
At least most of you. Some of you may have, I don't know. But you don't want to hear all that, so just know that these storms, no matter what kind they are, no matter how severe they are, you ain't never had a storm. A hurricane come into your life like Job had. You may have come close down here in Denver Springs. You may have lost some property. But you didn't lose everything. You ever had a storm like Abraham had? God ever said to you, take your son, your only son,
right,
and go over to this mountain where I'm going to show you and offer him as a sacrifice. Huh? You ever been there? Huh? What a story. No wonder he's called the Father of the Faithful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
There's a reason for that.
Amen.
And like we heard last night, they're for our good. We know that. We're supposed to believe that. We know it. But do we really believe it? Not all the time. Not all the time. You know how I know? Because we bellyache and cluck and gripe so much about the things that happen to us. You know I'm not lying. Be truthful. That's right, preacher. If I'm not driving, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to gripe about something. You know, the fleas on the dog, we gripe about that.
Yeah.
That's just a little old trial. A little old whirlwind.
That's it.
Until we get in the house. and then it's a storm.
Yeah.
But we'll gripe about it. Lord, what in the world is this for? Why me, Lord?
Yeah.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 5 says in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Do you do that? When was the last time you gloried because the dog come home with fleas?
Yeah.
When was the last time you gloried when your daughter come home and said, Daddy, I'm going to have a baby? Well, did you glory in the Lord in that? We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope.
Amen.
And hope maketh not shame.
Yes.
Because the word of God shall dwell in our heart.
Yes.
By the Holy Spirit is given unto us. Yes. Storms. And sometimes, you know, things get so bad, we got to start throwing things overboard, like they did in the ship.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Those disciples bailed in that water out of that ship, you know, and they realized they wasn't making no headway. So they came to the last resort, just like you did.
Yes.
Well, everything, nothing else has worked. The doctor can't do this, and the lawyer can't fix this, and the banker won't help me. Maybe God will help me.
Yeah.
The IRS is going to get me. You talk about fear. Yeah. You go to talking about the IRS, and fear strikes men's hearts. They don't know what mercy is.
Correct.
Throwing things overboard. They kept lightening that ship. And finally, in verse 38 of that same chapter, we see them throwing the groceries overboard. Oh, man. We're getting serious. They throw the groceries overboard. Jonah, he got out there in that ship. He was down, sound asleep in the hold somewhere. And they come down there and said, hey, wake up. We're in trouble. We done thrown everything else overboard. He said, well, you're going to have to throw me overboard.
There you go.
And it is. They throwed him over. And that fixed the problem. Yeah. We find serious information about this over the book of Hebrews. That'll help us when those times come and that storm won't wash you overboard and sink your ship. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Right.
It's finished.
Yeah.
When he sat down, it's finished.
Yeah.
But he said, let us lay aside. Let's throw it overboard. Get rid of those sins. Those secret little sins that you just cherish and you can't get rid of. Yeah. Looking unto Jesus.
That's right.
That'll help. That's tremendous. It'll work. Yeah. In chapter 13, verse 11 of Paul's letter to the Romans, he said, and that knoweth the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, that now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness. Throw them overboard. Yeah. Let us run and put on the armor of life. Yeah. Cast off the works of darkness. We don't need them in serving God. Get rid of them. Sin is a hindrance. We know that. I don't know if we all believe it or not, but we know that it's a hindrance to us. And why we keep putting up with it, I don't know. We're so weak. We just got a little thing. Might need some more storms in your life. And they'll test your sincerity. You know, that kind of goes along with your affections and your faith. But your sincerity. Are you sincere in what God's called you to do? And I hear sisters talk about, well, God ain't called me to do anything. Are you married? He sure has. You got a tremendous responsibility.
Yeah.
Just get the book, you'll find out about it.
Right.
A glorious responsibility.
That's
not true. Being a mother, a husband. Sincere? Are you sincere in what you do? In your service to God. You know, Arthur W. Pink was a great writer, and I love him to pieces. And I can't wait to see him and thank the Lord for him, like I do very often. Maybe not often enough. But he said, how earnestly each of us needs to cry out to God that His grace would silence our rebellious heart, for our rebellious lips, and still the tempest within our desperately wicked heart. Yeah. That's what we need to do. That'll help you cast off those works of darkness, those sins that's been besetting you, service of God, and hindering you. Or they might be to test your character very quickly because we're out of time. You test your character. Our dear brother talked about that last night. Our character. How you live in the world. How do they look at you? What do they see? Do they see righteousness in your life? Do they see holiness in your life? Do they see any information in the way you walk that would prove you was a child of God. Sincerity. I mean, you know, over in 2 Kings, there is a good illustration of a man with sincerity. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray you, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided, one to one side to the other, so that they went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "I ask thee what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee." Wow. What a question. Mm-hmm. What a question.
Yeah.
Ask me what it is you want me to do for you. I mean, that's wide open. Whatever you want, just ask me before I go. Whatever you want. Just ask. And then he showed his character. He didn't ask for no big bank account. He didn't ask for no great herds of sheep and goats. No gold mine. It was a wide open question. What do you want? Just tell me before I go. He said, "I desire a double portion of your spirit." Yeah. That's character. Them 50 sons of prophets that was out there watching. All that. Yeah. They were looking on. If they saw a great man of God answer a question just like it should have been answered by a man of God. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing material. No. So when the storm hits you, and it will, if you tarry around here very long,
yep.
It'll come. It may not come with clouds in the sky. May not be a gentle breeze blowing. But there's storms without clouds. There's storms without breezes. storm without rain and lightning and thunder. Because we're children of God. God sends them. He puts the gold in the fire.
That's it, that's right.
When you go through the fire, I'll be with you.
Amen.
When you go through the water, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you find out things about yourself that you don't know. Sometimes you find out something about your own wicked heart that you don't know. Oh, I'm telling you what. When God begins to show you how wicked your old heart is, it'll break you.
Yeah.
If you ain't never been there, I feel for you. Because you don't know. You don't know.
Right.
How wicked your old heart is.
Yeah.
God can show you.
Yeah.
God can show you. Because you may not have the grace that the old brother had when his master's wife tried to seduce him time and time, every day. Come at him. And finally, he just went to prison. Instead of satisfying both of them, physical desires. May God bless you. Hang in there. God's still alive. Still on the throne. But Jerry, I think it's your time.
Thank you, Brother Kelly.
God bless you, brother.
Let's all stand. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got a big old stamp of guilty on my head. And I'm sure you're truthful with yourself. You do too. But when these storms come up, what do? We put our awesome God, the King of Kings, we put him as a last resort on solving our problems. Well, I'm going to get my banker to do it. I'm going to get my whoever to solve this, my doctor, and if that fails, then I go here and I go there. And the last resort, we run to our father, daughter. We go in the ship and wake him up. Okay, look here.